We'll turn in God's Word, please, to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, we've been looking at the great men and women of faith as they're described in this chapter. Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll read the verse 33 through to 35. Hebrews 11, verse 33. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And we're going to be looking then at the first part of verse 35. The women received their dead raised to life again. We'll seek the Lord's face together in prayer as we come around His word this evening. Our gracious Father, we thank Thee for all the wonderful lessons that are stored in this great chapter. We thank Thee for all that we have been learning on the subject of faith. And Lord, it is our earnest desire that this evening we will be taught again of Thyself. O Lord, we pray that Thou will take Thy word and write it upon each one of our hearts. O Lord, we pray that there will be a word in season for each one that is found in the Lord's house here tonight. So come and undertake for us in our Lord's precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and the verse 7, the Apostle Peter there spoke of the wife as being the weaker vessel. Generally speaking, the lady is weaker in her physical strength. She is often weaker in her emotional strength. The husband, as the stronger then, is not to bully his wife, rather he is to seek to strengthen her. He is not to put her down for her weakness, but rather he is to seek to comfort her. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honour unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Now, while the lady is the weaker vessel, there are occasions when she is the stronger vessel. There are occasions when ladies are those who are strong in faith. Many a congregation would have to close its doors if it were not for faithful ladies who serve in the work of the Lord. Many a prayer meeting would be empty if it were not for godly ladies who come and give themselves to prayer. And through the scriptures we find many women of great godliness, women of great faith. And that is brought to your attention here in our text for this evening in verse 35. Women received their dead raised to life again. And remember, the whole context is in relation to the subject of faith. By faith women received their dead raised to life again. And there were a number of women in the scripture who received their dead, their dead loved ones to life again. And so there was the widow of Zarephath, whose child was restored to life under the ministry of the prophet Elijah. And there was the woman of Shunem in 2 Kings 4 that we were reading of earlier in the meeting. In Luke 7, we read of the woman of Nain, who received her son, and the Lord had come into Nain. The Lord raised that child from the dead at his funeral. And then we could think of the wife of Jairus. She received her 12-year-old daughter back to life. Or Mary and Martha received Lazarus. Or those widows in Joppa, they received Dorcas back when Peter raised her to life in Acts chapter 9. Now, bearing in mind that in Hebrews chapter 11, we're reading of great men and women of faith of the Old Testament. Evidently, the ladies that are in view in this text are the widow of Zarephath and the woman of Shunem, who had their children raised under the ministries of Elijah and Elisha. Now, some have looked at this text in Hebrews 11, 35, and they have concluded that it must be the faith of Elijah and Elisha that is in view, and not so much the faith of the mothers. And so they look at the text in this sense: women received their dead raised to life again by the faith of the prophets. However, I believe that is reading into the text what is not actually there. Now, I'm not denying that in 1 Kings 17 and in 2 Kings 4, both Elijah and Elisha demonstrated great faith. And so it is true that these women received their dead children to life again as God's servants acted in faith. But that is not so much what is being commended here. What is being commended, rather, is the faith of these mothers. And so we're going to focus then on the faith of the mother in 2 Kings chapter 4, this woman of Shunem. And how is it that her faith was demonstrated in that particular chapter? She led her son out on the prophet's bed. And so when her son died, she didn't take her child and lie the child on her own bed. She didn't lie the child on a couch, but she brought the child to that chamber that was set aside for the prophet. And she put the child on the prophet's bed. She believed then that a great miracle was going to happen, that this child would be raised from the dead. She didn't set about to make funeral arrangements, but rather she was making resurrection arrangements. There is evidence of her faith. And then secondly, it seems when she came to speak to her husband, she didn't tell him that her son, their son, had died. And so remember how in the morning time, the child had become unwell, and he complained of that pain in the head. He was crying, "My head, my head." And evidently the father, he hadn't realized how serious the sickness was, because he didn't bear the child back to the home himself. He asked a lad to carry the child. And though the father was busily occupied in the harvest there, and surely the health of his child would have taken precedence over his harvesting. But he didn't realize the seriousness of that headache, and so he delegated the job to a young lad. And therefore the boy's death was most unexpected. And therefore, when the mother came to the field and she requested an animal in order to go to the prophet and a servant to go with her, when she didn't mention the child, he didn't even make a query. At least we don't have a record of a query being made about the child. And so in verse 23 he said, "Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath." And she said, "It shall be well." And so she, at least it certainly isn't recorded, she didn't tell the husband that the child had died. And that being the case, surely it is emphasizing to us that she had confidence that there would be this resurrection. And so she could say to him, "Shalom, peace, it is well, it shall be well." But then her faith was also demonstrated in that she made her way to Carmel. And she went to where the prophet was. And she felt then this great need of the prophet to come, and to come to this chamber that he often rested in and to raise this child back to life. And it is vital for us to take lessons from this for ourselves. And we know that it is not the Lord's will. We know that it was not the Lord's will in the Old Testament to raise every dead person back to life. And so resurrections both in the Old Testament and in the New were very rare. And so this particular portion was not teaching either in the Old Testament days or even in the apostolic period that every dead child is to be raised to life. That is not what this is teaching. And certainly in our day, I don't believe that it's the Lord's purpose to literally raise the dead. But we are to see greater resurrections than the resurrection of that child. That is, we are to see the resurrection of those that are dead in sin to new life in our Lord Jesus Christ. And the miracle of the new birth, then, is infinitely greater than the literal resurrection of a child to life. And so we're not undermining the greatness of this miracle. But what I'm emphasizing is we are to expect even greater, the resurrection of dead souls to life. You picture this lady. You think of how she left that child in the room. And then later, when the prophet said to Gehazi, call her to come up, she came. She saw that her dead son was raised to life again. We could say, in a sense, she saw her son born again. She could identify with the words of the father of the prodigal. This my son was dead and is alive again. This my son was dead and is alive again. We read in Hebrews chapter 11 of these women receiving their dead. In Romans chapter 11, we read there of the restoration, the conversion of the Jews. And in Romans 11 verse 15 it says, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? And in relation to that subject then of a restoration of the Jews, what will the receiving of them be? It will be this glorious resurrection. And we are to expect that then in the conversion of souls. Perhaps there's someone in the meeting this afternoon and you're broken over a loved one that is not converted. It could be a son or a daughter. They are dead in trespasses and sins. There's no spiritual life in them. And they have a great appetite for sin. They have a great appetite for the world. They have a great appetite for the things of darkness. They're in the far country. And you ask the question, what am I to do? Surely, spiritually speaking, you are to go to the chamber of the prophet. You are to lay out that child, that one that is not converted before the Lord. Go and seek the prophet to come, that they might be raised to new life. The prophet surely speaks to us of Christ himself through this particular chapter. And in other chapters dealing with the ministry of Elisha, he is referred to as the man of God. In verse 9, and she said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God. In verse 21, she went up and laid him in the bed of the man of God. And she talks at the end of verse 23 of how she wants to run to the man of God. And this man then was no mere man to her. He was, in a sense, her advocate before God. He was her representative before God. In a sense, surely he acted as a mediator before God. We have then a wonderful description, a wonderful picture of Jesus Christ. He is our advocate. our representative, a mediator in the fullest sense of that word. And so then, what is the child of God to do? We are to go to our Elisha. We are to go to Christ. When we are asked the question, is it well? We are to answer, it shall be well. We're to have every confidence in the Lord's ability to raise our loved ones to life in the Lord. So often our faith, like this lady's faith, is imperfect. And yet the Lord rewards even weak faith. I want to take the remainder of the time this evening to look at this resurrection, not in the sense of the new birth, but in the sense of restoration. Women received their dead raised to life again. And perhaps in your life there is a corpse. You think of what a corpse is. A corpse is a reminder of past life, a reminder of past energy. And you think of this home that is spoken of in 2 Kings chapter 4. And this young boy had been the life and soul of this home. His father was an old man. And this couple had long given up hope of having a child. And suddenly the restful evenings of that old man were interrupted. He now had a young child to entertain. And surely in a sense then the youthfulness of the father must have been restored to him. All of the energy of the child was filled in that home. But now all of a sudden, the home was quiet. All the energy was gone. And all that poor mother had was a corpse. A reminder of past life. A reminder of past vigor. A reminder of past activity. And that could be like your Christian life, dear child of God. Perhaps tonight what you have is a corpse. As you reflect upon your life, you can look back and you can enjoy the fact that in past days you had much energy and vigor in the work of God. But today there's a corpse instead. The hymn writer asked, where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where is the soul-refreshing view of Jesus and his word? What peaceful hours I once enjoyed. How sweet their memories still. But they have left an aching void the world can never fill. Perhaps tonight you're looking back. You see that corpse. Oh, that tonight you might have the faith of this dear lady. Women received their dead, raised to life again. And concerning this restoration to life, we want to see, first of all, that restoration means fruit is evident again. If you remember, we're thinking of this lady in an Old Testament context. And back in those days, barrenness was often viewed as the disciplining hand of God, the result of the disciplining hand of God. It was often viewed as the Lord's reproach. Now, those that interpreted barrenness in that way were not always correct in doing so. And there were times that there were ladies who were barren. It was part of the Lord's providence and plan, and it certainly was not because of the Lord's disciplining hand. The Lord had a great plan for them. But nonetheless, it was often viewed as a reproach. Now you think of the words of Rachel, when her barrenness was removed. God hath taken away my reproach. God hath taken away my reproach. And to have children then was to be seen as fruit. To have children was seen as a blessing from the Lord. Psalm 127 verse 3. Though children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. And you think of this dear lady. She had lived in years in
barrenness. Suddenly the Lord made her fruitful.
And she experienced those great words of Psalm 113, verse 9. He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. And so she had been fruitful. She had rejoiced in that fruit. But now the fruit was gone. All she had was a corpse. And she felt then like she was back to being a barren woman all over again. And isn't that a picture of what it is to be a backslider? Speaking here of one who genuinely knows the Lord.
And they have truly experienced what it is to walk with the Lord. They have known what it is to
draw from that life-giving vine. They have brought forth fruit on account of that great sap. And from the vine they have been a fruitful branch. They could say in Hosea 14:8, from me is thy fruit vine, from the Lord. They have been fruitful.
There has been the fruit of joy, the fruit of peace, the fruit of assurance of salvation, the fruit of assurance of glory, the fruit of fellowship with God, the fruit of delight in the Scriptures, the fruit of fervor in prayer, the fruit of a focus on eternal things. But something comes between the child of God and their walk with God. And that fruit is no longer so evident. And they feel like as if they're back in their unregenerate days. And the one who is truly converted will feel that. The one who is truly converted will be distressed over that. And what is the child of God to do in that time when he feels his barrenness? Surely he is to go to that chamber and he is to put there that dead corpse. He is to acknowledge, I am unfruitful. This unfruitfulness has come in. And the child of God is to seek out Christ. He is to pursue after the prophet. And this lady, as she pursued after the prophet, she had this great feeling, I can have nothing but him. I must have the prophet. For when the prophet sent Gehazi, she almost dismissed Gehazi. And then when the prophet told Gehazi to go ahead with the staff, she had no confidence in Gehazi. Perhaps she recognized something of Gehazi's faults even before Elisha did so. But nonetheless, she had this great yearning, I must have the prophet. In verse 30, the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. I will not leave Elisha. She was like Jacob. I will not let thee go. You must come with me. She held on to him. She cleaved on to him. And oh, that we would do that. That we would cleave to the Lord until that restoration comes. In 1 Peter 1, we read of great evidences of fruit in the life of the Christian. Faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, and so on. And before those words, we have these. 2 Peter 1, verse 3. According to his divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. All that is needed in order to have this bountiful fruitfulness is available in Christ, according to his divine power. We must go to him then. We must cleave to him, longing that he would bring that restoration. Restoration then means fruit is evident again. I want to see secondly that restoration means grace is enjoyed again. For I want you to notice what the lady said as she came
to the prophet. In verse 29, she said, "Did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, 'Do not deceive me?'"
And so she brings the prophet back to that occasion when he had come to her, and he said to her, "You've been so kind to me, and I long that you would receive a gift from the Lord because of your great kindness." If you look with me in verse 16, he said, go back to verse 13 first of all. He said unto him, "Say now unto her, 'Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host?' And she answered, 'I dwell among mine own people.'" That is, she was quite satisfied with all that she had. Verse 16 then, he said, "About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son." And she said, "Nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid." And so she had made no request of a child. In fact, she had requested nothing. She had done that service as a service unto the Lord. Now, thinking then of the birth of that child was entirely a gift from God. And that is how she saw it. She saw it as something that she had not earned. She had not earned the right to have a child. That child was a gracious gift from God. But now the child was taken from her. And you think of those years in which she enjoyed the company of that child. She had always rejoiced in this. He has been given by God's grace. And now the child was to be restored to her. And so she says to the prophet, "Did not I say to you, 'Do not lie to me'? Did I desire a son of my Lord?" And she is emphasizing, "I never asked for the child." And as the child then was restored, while it certainly was restored according to faith, nonetheless, surely we can say it was, or he was restored because of the Lord's great grace. The child was given in grace, and the child was restored to her in grace. And as the child was restored, she enjoyed the subject of grace again. What is it to be a backslider? Surely to be a backslider is one who no longer lives in that full enjoyment of God's grace. They have begun to take the things of God for granted. And that heart of joyfulness, that heart of rejoicing in God's grace, their heart becomes careless and complacent. They take those things for granted. To be restored is to enjoy grace again. Spurgeon spoke of the system which begins in grace, which goes on in grace, which ends in grace. That system which makes the creature nothing and the Creator everything. That system which says to self-righteousness, "Be gone, and for if you remain here, men will boast." Which says to grace, "Come in and dwell with guilty, worthless, helpless sinners." He then went on to say, "Salvation is all of grace, rich grace, triumphant grace, and therefore it delights my soul." And this subject of grace then was again the song, the delight of this lady. Restoration means fruit is evident again. It means grace is enjoyed again. And I want to see then, thirdly, restoration means expectation is extended again. For if you turn over with me to 2 Kings chapter 8, we meet this woman again. And so a famine came. And when that time of famine came, The prophet Elisha exhorted the lady to go and dwell in the land of the Philistines for a time. And so in verse 2, the woman arose and did after the saying of the man of God, and she went with her household and sojourned in the land of the Philistines 7 years. Now, during that time when she was gone, there were some that came and they occupied her home in Shunem. There were some came and they began to farm her land. And so when she returned to her place again, her home was occupied and her land was being farmed by others. And there's no mention now of her husband. Many suggest that her husband had now died. What was a poor widow to do in a case like this? What could a weak lady do? We find that she went to the king to present her case. At the end of verse 3, she went forth to cry unto the king for her house and for her land. And in the great providence of God, on the very occasion when she went to the king, Gehazi was there. And as Gehazi was there in the presence of the king was asking him about the prophet Elisha. And as Gehazi was speaking of the greatness of Elisha, he spoke of one particular miracle in particular, the raising of that boy to life again. Verse 5, it came to pass as he was telling the king how he had restored a dead body to life, that behold, the woman whose son he had restored to life cried to the king for her house and for her land. And Gehazi said, "My lord, O king, this is the woman, and this is her son, whom Elisha restored to life." What a wonderful providential occasion that was. But what I want to draw your attention to is this. When she had faith that her child would be resurrected, it resulted in an extension of her expectation. As she had experienced that wonderful intervention of God, it gave her an expectation of more of the Lord's intervention in her life. So when she had come back from the land of the Philistines, plunderers had come in, intruders had come in, and to use the language of the book of Joel, the locusts had come in. But she didn't abandon that home and go and seek out another confident that the Lord who had intervened in her life in a past time, the one who had restored life to her son, was able to restore her home and her land to her again. And surely there is a lesson for us in that then.
As we see the Lord's restoration, it will give us an expectation to see fresh experiences of God.
As we prove God in one thing, it exhorts us to see God proved in others. A.W. Pink, as he commented on 2 Kings chapter 4, he pointed out the order of this child's recovery. It began with renewed circulation. The body of the child began to warm. And then there was sneezing, his head cleared. And then there was, thirdly, the opening of his eyes. And surely we can see that as a picture of restoration. The one who is cold at heart, he needs that circulation again. He needs to be warmed. The one who has come to live as a corpse, he needs to have his head cleared. There needs to be that sneezing. There needs to be restoration of understanding. And then the eyes need to be opened, taken off other things, and placed firmly upon the Lord. So this child was raised. And he was raised in the most wonderful way. You'll have noticed, as we read in 2 Kings chapter 4, and that the prophet came and lay on the child. There the child was lying on the bed, dead. And the prophet went and took that same possession.
But then before the child was raised, the prophet got up and he walked to and fro.
As I thought of that, does that not remind us of the death of Christ? He lay in that place of death. But then the resurrection. He was raised to walk to and fro. And on account of this picture of death and resurrection, the child was raised. How can we experience that restoration? It comes on account of the death and resurrection of our great Saviour. Because I live, Christ said, ye shall live also. And may we each know that restoration. May we each be delivered from our coldness. May we be delivered from just looking back at past fruitfulness. May the Lord give to us those times of fruitfulness afresh. We trust the Lord will take his word and bless it to all of our hearts. We'll bow together, please, in prayer.